The following is brought to you in part by MFC Studios. The views and opinions of the show's hosts and guests do not necessarily reflect those of the owners, management, or staff of WGBB. And now, it came from the radio.
Came from the radio. This is your host, Mark Toro, speaking. With me in the studio, I have Charlie Saladino sitting next to me.
How you doing?
And I have Hassan Godwin sitting across from us. And, of course, the floating blue head of knowledge, Tom Ross, always helping us out in the studio.
It's all right.
For those of you who are having trouble listening to us on the air, you're pretty much out of luck because the online feed is not working, I've been told. So only people listening to us in the cars and people who are at their job right now, they're hearing us. But everybody else, they're not hearing us right now. But they will hear us on the archives. So we're speaking to you from the past, future.
How listen to us tomorrow, which if you're listening will be today. Wow.
Yeah.
That'll just stagger the imagination.
Yeah, I'm leaving that one alone.
Yeah.
And the phone number here is area code 61-888-8811. So I'll just take it away with the news. Fans of One Life to Live and All My Children, rejoice!
I used to work for them.
I know. Instead of being canceled, the two shows will be available via web only. It seems that a TV, film, and music company owned by former Disney studio boss Rich Frank has licensed the show that will be played on the company's called Prospect Park, which will be like Hulu for soaps. The executives say Prospect Park owners release the driving force in making this switch and attracting new audiences is to have outstanding programs that people want to watch. We believe that by continuing to produce their shows in the current hour format with the same quality, viewers will follow the show to the new online network.
Okay, what brilliant mind at ABC Disney/Disney decided to take those shows away?
Because it was getting too expensive. So whoever was in charge of programming, daytime programming at ABC said, it's too expensive, we're going to put in reality shows in a daytime.
Oh, there we go. Okay.
So there's going to be like, you know, Master Chef or something like that in the
morning. Oh, man.
But the only problem I'm having with this is that the big core fans of One Life to Live and All My Children wouldn't even be able to use the computer to see the shows.
But let me tell you something. Once again, ABC slash Disney is the taxi theory. Remember when they took Taxi off because it wasn't, you know, it was too much money?
Right.
And next thing you know, Channel 4 picks it up,
and
it's a
huge,
mega hit, just like it was on Channel 7, and it's a mega hit, and then, you know, they fire a program director at 7. You know, so, I mean, big mistake. There is mucho soap opera fans out there.
There's an entire channel
devoted to soap opera fans. Their stories. I've dealt with people who had to see their stories. If I come over at a certain time to their house, no, you got to sit me. You got to watch this. You got to watch my sister DVDs, a soap opera on Channel 4. And then when she's watching it, there bombs could go off around her. You know, you got it's like people are serious about this stuff.
Yeah, and the only soap I ever was really interested in was Knots Landing, and I was a devoted follower for many years. It's like 13 years, I think, that show was on. And I remember when I was a kid, it was like my Do Not Disturb time, 10 o'clock Thursday. Yeah. No one could bother me watching that show. So I can only imagine how it is every day to have this stuff.
If you guys saw what they do to create these shows, it's amazing. In the morning they rehearse, and even the sets and the studios, they're on the sides of the building, and the camera comes right down the middle, and you go to everybody's different house and shoot different scenes in sequence of, you know, whatever the schedule is. And in the morning they run through it, and no makeup, which is sometimes scary, and then they tape in the afternoon, and it's an amazing process. It's like, you know, it's one of the last vintage television footholds in America. Soap operas. They started from way back when.
So I guess
it started from radio soap operas. Well, a lot of them, matter of fact, were on radio before they were on TV.
Right.
And so now they move on to online. So I guess technically it's the evolution of the show.
Right.
I guess, maybe. But still, I think it's a bad idea.
Yeah.
What do you think, Hassan?
All right.
No care about...
Not even a little bit.
Sorry about that, folks, but that was something I was like involved
in. I used to watch Days of Our Lives. I used to, when I was a kid. My mom was stuck on it, and I got stuck on it with her.
Yeah.
And then I said...
The only soap opera I was ever tempted to watch was Dark Shadows.
Which one did you miss there, Hassan?
I missed like a month. And couldn't get back. I had no idea. Oh, yeah. The storylines had...
Yeah, you lose it.
The storylines had shifted so drastically that I couldn't get back to it.
Yeah, yeah. It's a Dark Shadows was a big one. Everybody watched.
Yeah, I supposed to bring that back. Speaking
of course,
because
it's vampire time.
Vampire time.
Vampire yeah, sort of the twilight of its era.
It's vampire time. Speaking of ABC.
Mr. Segway, my old company.
In a recent interview, James Franco says... referring to the Oscars, he told the producers, "I don't know why you guys hired me, because you haven't given me anything. I just don't think this stuff's going to be any good." So he knew going in.
Why? Was it bad?
They said that he was one of the worst Oscars they had with James Franco and Anne Hathaway.
Really?
Yeah.
And they blame the two of them?
They blame the host, yeah.
Yeah. They read what they're given.
So, there was a skit where he was supposed to be in drag as Marilyn Monroe, Jane Franco. And referring to that, he says, "The plan had been that I was going to be Cher, and then Cher was going to come out on stage, and it was going to be a big deal. But then the idea got axed when Cher's song wasn't nominated for Burlesque. And so they said, you'll come out as Marilyn Monroe. It'll be funny." And then he goes on to say, "Me in drag is not funny."
He should have said no.
Yes. Just say no.
And he said, "You know what? I got a career. I need to make movies. I need to have a halfway decent public opinion about me. So I'm not going to do that."
Well, this is his in response.
Oh, it's after
direct
the fact.
Response to Hassan's comment. We go back to James Franco, and he says, "I've been trained as an actor to respond to circumstances, to the people I'm working with, not force anything. So I thought I could be the straight man, and Anne Hathaway could be the excited one."
Really?
And that's how I was trying to do those
Does
lines.
Does he know who Anne Hathaway is? Anne Hathaway could be the exciting one? Really?
That's what he
Anne
said.
Anne Hathaway? Really?
And then he says, "I felt kind of trapped in that material. I felt this is not my boat. I'm just a passenger, but I'm going down,
that's
and there's
what you
no
get.
Way out."
That's what you get for leaving the reins to Anne Hathaway. That's what happens to you. I would let Anne Hathaway drive me home in her own car.
Well, you're kind of against Anne Hathaway.
I would.
I'm not talking about... There's actually nothing wrong with her. But, you know, just his whole attitude is like, "I'm going to be a straight guy, and I'm going to leave all the comedy to Anne Hathaway, who is known for her comedy."
Yeah.
Right.
Unless it's written down on...
She's renowned for her comedic timing.
Well, you got to... The both of them, actually. The both actors, just if they're in a comedy, they're reading what's put down on the thing. They're not really... comedy actors.
Not like, Billy Crystal?
Right. And they don't have the timing. They don't have the, you know, Johnny Carson was, in my opinion, one of the greatest as far as timing, along with Jack Benny. You put these people, put people used to comedy in a position like that. Billy Crystal was phenomenal.
I remember when...
Billy Crystal's probably a little too old there. He hasn't done anything like significant for a while. The last few things he's done.
I'm not saying.
No, but I mean, there's no one left like Billy Crystal's caliber. Who would you put today? What young
comedian?
I mean, not young as in like,
no,
like
I know
20 years
saying,
old,
like,
but I mean, comedian
Dane
under
Cook.
50? No.
No, you wouldn't
terrible.
Put Dane Cook in there.
He's terrible. He's not a movie star.
He's not a movie star, but he's a stand-up comedian.
He's the number one stand-up comedian.
But I'm saying that if that's what you're going for, if you want somebody who's your MC that's going to be funny, you put a comedian in there.
That's true. But they were going for the young, hip, quote-unquote, hip Oscars.
Yeah,
and that's what they get.
The Lord knows the studios always know what they're doing.
And that worked wonderful, didn't it?
Well, studios are always the smartest pencils in the crayon box. I have no idea. Keep going.
Speaking of casting.
Is there a segue?
Arnold Schwarzenegger has just been signed to star in a movie called The Last Stand.
He slept with the maid.
Which
oh, I'm sorry.
Which follows the story of a drug lord who breaks out of a courthouse.
Sleeps with his maid.
Sleeps with the maid.
Come on.
And see, if you would have waited, this would have been perfect.
Wait for it.
I'll give it. I'm throwing it to you, all right? Just let me finish. The movie follows the story of a drug lord who breaks out of a courthouse and makes a run for the Mexican border
to sleep with his maid.
There you go, see?
Yay! Wow, that was perfect.
That's the best timing.
I'll be back, Juanita.
So he's up for
as
a movie.
As soon as my wife is asleep, I will be back.
What was that comedian? He was saying that...
You know, after Tiger Woods, why is anybody even upset with Arnold Schwarzenegger?
I'm not upset with
Tiger Woods. Upset. Tiger Woods slept with everybody. Tiger Woods slept with you, Mark. You just don't know it.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
That's why you're a golf game improved.
Only because he got into politics. That's the only reason they're upset with him. If he was just another Hollywood actor,
okay, Mark, what happened?
They wouldn't.
It was like uncomfortable silence there for a minute.
Well, you know, he put the step in my swing. What was there was a comedian he was saying about Arnold Schwarzenegger. He says, what, you know, what fantasy, if you're sleeping with a maid, what fantasy does the person have you dress up as?
Huh.
You're dressing up as a maid?
Yeah.
Never mind. Anyway, moving along.
Maybe you just wear your uniform.
Boom.
Okay, yeah. Thank you.
Okay. You had a time of death on that joke.
All right, so speaking of movie hot shows.
Mr. Segway.
Movie hot shows.
Transformers
oh,
Dark
on.
Of the Moon
stop,
remains,
stop,
remains
stop.
Number one.
Stop. Stop.
Ooh,
I don't care.
In a row.
Stop.
Wait,
stop.
Let's jump out the window.
It's guaranteed not to be top next week, and we all know why.
That's true. The Harry Potter will sweep it away.
Harry Potter.
Harry Potter's going to destroy the Transformers. Destroy.
Well, as of right now, officially.
Exterminate.
$161 million. So it's the highest grossing movie of the year so far. So Harry Potter will smack it away. But right now, $261 million is the cap.
Did you see the paper for the New York premiere? There was a girl with a sign saying, we stayed in line for 6 days.
For the
Harry Potter thing.
Give her bladder and award.
I can.
For what? You don't even have to do that anymore. Just go on Fandango.
I don't know.
Get your ticket.
I wasn't the girl.
No one has to camp out anymore for tickets.
Say that.
That's the.
No, I think they were camping down for their place in line by the red carpet to see them.
Oh, for the premiere.
Please. For the premiere.
All right, cause, well,
not for tickets.
I remember like 3 years ago when Michael Jackson passed away, they were talking about how the movie was sold out everywhere and people were in lines trying to see the movie. And I worked at a theater, and there was nobody at my theater. And people used to come in, are the movie tickets sold out? I'm like, no, you come right in and get it.
We give them propaganda. That works all the time.
It's just... It's just
though, truthfully, I don't remember with Star Wars, there really were the big lines that they kept talking about.
Well,
that was Star Wars.
That was Star Wars, yeah.
Even when we remember when we went to see Episode 1, when we went there and there was a big sign, a Star Wars line.
You're going to lose this conversation, and I'll explain why in a second.
Okay.
Go ahead.
I was going to say how there was two lines. We were there early in the morning. Nobody was there, and there was one line that said Star Wars only, and the rest said everybody else. So I'm like,
the line that said Star Wars only was for the people who hadn't purchased their tickets yet. And the line that the reason we were able to walk right in is because we had already had tickets, because I bought a ticket, I had a ticket because I waited online for 2.5 hours.
Did you really?
2 days earlier.
Did you really?
Yes. So your argument's invalid.
Well, my theater's still
in. Your theater stinks.
How does that feel, Mom?
I wouldn't have waited.
Let's jump out the window.
Well, you're welcome.
I'm going to be saying that phrase. I'm going to be saying that phrase throughout the show.
What was?
Let's jump out the window.
For all you fans of Transformers, you would know what does that mean.
Yes.
Because, man, oh, man.
I'm not even going to discuss that movie. One of my friends said on Facebook, he was like, this is one of the greatest action movies I've ever seen. And underneath his comment, I wrote, morons are funny. That was my reaction to it. I wrote, haha, morons are funny.
Well, speaking of Transformers, hi, second crush.
Mr. Segway.
Transformers sucks.
We now have a list of a couple of notable movies on how much they've doing so far this year.
Why? Why do we need to know this? They're all bad. They're all trite and vacuous.
It's still news.
No, pieces of celluloid crap.
It's still news. So Thor pulls in
crap
with 10 weeks in the theaters, $178 million.
Crap.
X-Men First Class crap with 6 weeks was at $142 million.
$142 million of crap.
Pirates 4,
good,
which is the highest
good
grossing
movie
in the world right now,
yes,
is only at $236 million in 8 weeks out. And of course, Green Lantern
crap
is at 4 weeks at $109 million.
$109 million is a lot of money. See, this is why this argument is ridiculous.
It's not
this
an argument.
No, I'm not talking about it. Whatever. I'm saying this entire discussion is ridiculous because you see how your voice took a dip? Yeah,
a
change of tone and 100. Oh, that's pathetic. You had $109 million. No one you know right now would ever see you again. You'd be wearing this million-dollar smile that was bright enough to blind your friends while you're hanging out at your pool at whatever, following the summers around every time the summer changes or whatever beach house you have. The people do that. It's ridiculous. You're like, Green Lantern only made $100.
Well,
Green Lantern shouldn't have made $109. That's how bad that film was. Okay? And it made $109 million, and people are like, it was the flop.
Yeah,
it's a failure. It's ridiculous. The whole scheme is ridiculous.
Let's say, like, somebody walked in now and said, hey, I'm giving you $1 million. I would say, thank you.
$1 million. Someone came in and gave me $10, I'd be happy.
Yeah.
$10. And 9 cents.
Which is what the Green Lantern should have made.
Exactly.
$10 and 9 cents.
Shouldn't have made
cents
that much.
One
guy went
one
to see
it. Sold.
And you need to kick him in the face when he comes out. Why'd you see that? why? I don't understand. And so Transformers in 3 weeks has made more than Pirates, right? Or it's almost caught up to Pirates in 3 weeks.
Well, this is 2 weeks. It's the second week.
And almost 3 weeks.
Well, we don't count. They can count the weekends. So this weekend hasn't come yet, so it's only
2 weeks. So your Pirates been around 8 weeks.
Yeah, made $236 million.
But Transformers is about to topple it.
Yeah.
But it's going to get stopped cold on Friday.
With Harry Potter, yes.
Yes.
And the special midnight screenings, of which I will not be a part of. Yay.
Go ahead.
Oh, and we have some sad news. We have some sad news.
Oh,
the
God.
Sad news was that Transformers made $200-something million already.
No, this is real sad news. Sherwood Schwartz has passed away this Tuesday at 4 a.m. where he was being treated for an intestinal infection. He had underwent several surgeries prior to his death. His wife Mildred and children were at his side. For those of you who don't know, Sherwood Schwartz is best known for writing for Bob Hope, creating the Brady Bunch, and of course, creating Gilligan's Island. For you trivia buffs out there, if you don't know,
I didn't know he was still alive.
Really?
He was doing pretty darn good.
He was actually in the process of making a Gilligan's Island movie before he passed away. But for those of you who are trivia buffs out there, the skipper's real name was Jonas Grumby. Gilligan's first name was Willie. His name was Willie Gilligan. The professor's name was Roy Hinckley Jr. And of course, Marianne was Marianne Summers. He was 94. So with our
he did pretty good.
Well, yeah,
he did pretty good. 94
well,
years
was
old.
Like
is
a TV pioneer with all those.
Yeah, I mean, come on.
Absolutely. And anyone from the baby boomer generation can sing that Gilligan's Island song, even after being hit over the head with a shovel.
Right. And in the second season, you have to add the professor and Marion.
Yeah,
that's right.
Because oh,
they were all the rest in the first.
And the, and the rest.
And the rest.
All
two of them. I always thought, I said, wow, can we split the budget here? And
What's great about that is that when they actually do fit them in, they fit in perfect.
Perfectly.
The professor and Marion, whoever, whatever
professor
genius
and
came
Marianne,
and amended the lyrics.
What am I going to do? How are
you
going to do this?
He probably smacked the original guy in the forehead. It's like, you couldn't
and
have put these two in
the rest.
Yeah. And the rest doesn't even rhyme as well as the professor and Marianne.
Yeah. And it was like an up tune.
That's ridiculous.
He used
Calypso
like,
tune.
Yeah.
He used even though it was wrong ocean.
Yeah. And the rest, it was like the down notes. It was like the minor notes. And then this guy comes in, the professor and Marianne, hey, we're going to watch your show, you know, hey. And he made it happy and bouncy and bursting with love.
Yeah, and did you notice after in the second season, all the set shots, like the wrecked boat and all that, they all changed because they switched over from black and white to color.
Right, I remember
right,
that.
And they had to reshoot them all, and I guess the original set pieces just weren't there in that condition, so they had to find something else.
I remember that, Russell Johnson, who plays the professor, he was interviewed because people come up to him constantly and always ask him the one question. If he was able to make a radio work out of coconuts and they made a car, and then how come he could never fix the boat? And he said he finally came up with the ultimate answer to this question. He said, if you were stuck on an island with Marianne and Ginger, would you fix the boat?
And he was the only eligible bachelor on that.
Yes.
The only halfway decent-looking dude on there.
Well, supposedly, what was it? Gilligan was going to get together with Marianne. Ginger was supposed to get together with the skipper, and Professor was going to be left out on his own.
Yeah. What? Who said that?
That's you know, the interviews of the writers, and that's how they were starting to pair them up. That's
really?
Really.
Yeah, if it had gotten another 10 seasons.
The skipper and Ginger?
Yeah.
Because he had they.
The fatherly protective role over her—that was the idea. I'm getting this look, but it's true.
I believe it. It's just the sort of thing Hollywood would come up with.
Yeah,
it still doesn't keep me from wanting to
gag. And that's why the professor was inventing all those things. He has nothing else to do.
One of the relatives of Sherwood Schwartz actually created Baywatch, and it was a Baywatch episode where they had Gilligan and Marianne on it, and they were together.
So nice.
A little connection going on there.
Yeah, I seem to recall that as a trivia thing in some episode of some TV show, they had someone going to the Jonas Grumby Boat Rental Corp.
Yeah, see, that's
and
the
yeah, and I'm watching this B movie on one of the Chiller or Fionet or whatever, and I'm watching this B movie, and all of a sudden Dawn Wells is on, and
she just shows up,
and she's in a kitchen. I'm going, wow, Dawn Wells, and she gets killed. I said, well, I'm glad I turned it on now. Okay. Enough of Marianne.
What was it? There was the Back to the Beach movie with Annette Funicello.
Yes.
And they had the cameos of, the skipper and Gilligan. And during the whole movie, Gilligan is telling about how, I think he was a bartender, and he's always trying to tell people about the story of how he's going in. Nobody wanted to hear it. And then at the very end, the hot girl wants to hear his story. And he's like, oh, really? You want to hear my story? And then the skipper shows up. He's like, come on, we got to go for another 3-hour tour. He's like, oh. Good times right there.
Right.
That's good times.
Incidentally, for extra points, what was the name of the series that they tried to make by moving Gilligan's Island entirely to the Old West?
I don't remember the Old West. I remember Gilligan's Planet where they went on
the cartoon,
ship.
Yeah. Well, it was called Dusty's Trail. And it was Gilligan's. It was a syndicated show, and it was Gilligan's Island moved to the Old West. Forrest Tucker played the skipper character. Only he was supposed to be a wagon master. It was supposed to be a very small wagon train that had gotten somehow separated from the rest. Wow. And there was a wealthy couple. There was a science teacher. There was a farm girl on her way trying to get to California. And there was a burlesque queen.
Was this before or after F Troop?
After. Oh, okay. Much after. Oh, wow. This was in like late 70s. Wow. For a while there, the networks were experimenting with putting syndicated shows on before they ran their regular network fare for like, I think it was between 6 or 7.
For all you B-movie fans, Forrest Tucker was in The Crawling Eye.
Yes, and did a very good job.
For all you baby booners, F-Troop.
Yeah, F-Troop, remember? The end of the Civil War.
Yeah, at any rate, he played the wagon master, and Dusty was supposed to be his assistant, who got everyone screwed up and got them lost in the first place.
See, so now when I run into Forrest Tucker, I'll ask him about that. And what was it, Larry Storch?
Yes, Larry
Agon. The teamwork. So we're about a halfway point. We'll be right back for Came From the Radio.
Hi, this is Amory. You've heard my voice open and close the show. Now we want to hear your voice. If you have a business or product, you can record a commercial here. We offer 30 and 60 second spots. For more information, contact Mark at mfc_studios@hotmail.com. And now, here's some music. Wow, that was hot. Now, back to our show.
And we are back with King Fun Radio. This is your host, Mark Torres, speaking along with Hassan Godwin and Charlie Saladino.
Hi.
So,
we're happy to be here.
We actually had planned on having a guest today, but due to circumstances beyond our control.
He told us to go stuff it.
Is that what happened? Yeah. That was the telegram that came in?
Yeah, that was a text I got. Stuff it. Not showing up, stuff it.
So I was thinking, since we were talking about Gilligan's
that's
Island.
That's for, see, everything goes wrong when thinking, you start doing
no,
that.
No thinking?
Yeah.
All right, I was thinking we should be talking about TV series, because normally on the show, we usually talk about movies. And I want to know what everybody thinks about television shows, because television shows is a different medium, kind of works in a different way, because a successful television show is supposed to be a long-running show. Yet certain concepts don't have that the legs to maintain a long time. I mean, Gilligan's Island, 3-hour tour, and they were on how many years was that show on the air? Like 30 years?
Oh, my
years?
God, yeah.
30.
They were 30
3 years and are scratching on the last.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's what I'm... So what do you guys think makes a good television show, Hassan?
Oh, I don't know.
You don't want to go first?
No. I don't know.
Well, we're always talking about having a good beginning, middle, and ending. But
well,
there
that
aren't
doesn't
too
really
many
work
series.
For TV.
Yeah, there I aren't think, too many series that have
I think
endings.
I will save you.
Well, because a lot of them get canceled before they end.
Yeah. True.
A television show, that a successful television show, is a revolutionary idea that's new. You have like The Outer Limits, which was like, and they opened up. That opening was fabulous. About we control. Yeah, right. For the next half hour, you're us.
Right.
You know, I mean, psychologically, you know,
yeah,
and the Twilight Zone.
So that was more of a, but that's more of a one episode deal. So like the little mini,
yeah, an anthology
mini
series.
Movie shows, anthology show. So is that the same vein as, let's say, something as Lost that was supposedly groundbreaking, but then everybody got upset at the ending?
Well, I don't understand the question.
Oh, yeah,
what do you
that's
think?
Why I'm standing
no,
here.
I'm
going
saying, what do you think it makes a good television show? I mean, if we're going to use the Outer Limits as
forgive
Twilight
me,
Zone.
But that's a broad stroke.
Yeah,
because television's been around for almost 100 years. Mm-hmm.
But we've always talked about how movies are. So
because movies
is
a basic. Movies is much less nebulous than television.
Well,
you got too many categories of television to narrow it all down to what makes a good show. Obviously, there's a reality TV shows, there's game shows, there's news
right.
shows,
that's,
there's...
That's,
yeah,
there's,
give,
you
me,
know,
give
so
us a section.
Well,
sitcoms?
I'm talking about a prime time. I guess the main three would be comedy, action, drama. Those are
okay.
the main three, comedy, action,
all right.
Drama.
I'd, action, an action show. The successful action shows were the shows that kept people riveted for that hour or that half hour, and they come back every week to see what's going on. The Fugitive, you know, all the detective shows back in my time, Burke's Law with Gene Barry, and you know, even the westerns. You had your characters that people liked. Even if the show was bad, the people liked the characters. A lot of different things go into the mix on successful shows. Besides, back in the day, it was groundbreaking. TV was groundbreaking, and, you know, they were learning. And if you look at old-fashioned TV and now, you see the progression of what they did. So a successful show would be... Like, if you have, again, for an example, you had an adventure show. You had Adventure in there. That was a good show, you know? And Maverick was a groundbreaking cowboy show because you had three brothers.
Right.
Brett, Bart, and I don't know, the third brother.
Billy, Bob.
And, Aaron. And, but, so every show wasn't about, you know, James Gardner. It was about, like him on one show, then about his brother on the other, then maybe the two brothers would get together. And the third brother was very interesting because the third brother was from England. They had a brother who grew up in England. And I forgot his name, but the man who played him was Roger Moore.
Oh, okay. All right.
Roger Moore played him. And every once in a while, Roger Moore would have this half hour, whatever Maverick was, but that was a groundbreaking show, kept people interested. And it says, oh, I like James Gardner, I like this guy, I like Roger Moore, hey, they were on this week.
So for you, it's just that it's something that's interesting to keep you coming each week.
Yeah, for me and everybody else.
Well, if a show has a premise and then they either deviate from that premise, or at the end, if they don't get canceled and they don't resolve the premise, does that hurt the show in your mind?
Oh, you mean if they finish the show, if they...
Yeah, let's say Maverick is about him, the Fugitive, was him trying to catch the one-armed man. And let's say it got canceled before he catched the one-armed man. Would that hurt the show, even though you enjoyed the journey?
Well, the show's hurt already. It's canceled. Would that hurt you? Yeah, and lots of people will send letters to that, you know, but sometimes that just doesn't matter. But what are you going to do? That's just the way it is, you know? What are you going to do?
what do you find that funny?
It hurts.
Because he's right. If the show gets canceled, who cares if it got hurt? You know, yeah. What do you mean? Does it hurt the show?
We're talking about
that's
basically what happened to Alien Nation.
Yeah. Right. Battlestar Galactica gets canceled. The kid jumps out the window. You know? It's ridiculous.
Well, yeah. He was a little off his hinge anyway.
But no. But I'm just saying, you know. Right. I'm not advocating your show gets canceled, jump out of window. I'm just saying people take their show serious. And does it hurt? This kid, it hurt a lot. I mean, you know, I mean, when they canceled, like if you're a kid, for example, and they cancel your favorite cartoon.
Which they did all the time.
Many times.
Remember how you felt?
Yeah.
This bites, you know.
But I'm saying, does it affect the overall quality of the show as a whole?
Because once the show getting canceled?
Once the show airs, it has its life, and then it ends, it becomes one unit. You don't separate it piece by piece unless for an anthology show.
Yeah.
Well, so what I'm asking everybody here...
I was devastated when Electra Woman and Dinah Girl was canceled.
Well, keep in mind that this business about there being story arcs over multiple episodes is actually fairly new. That started in the 70s. Back in the 60s, even shows that weren't anthologies, all the episodes were standalones. Yeah. There was very, very little that carried over. I mean, right. You had Matt Dillon was always the marshal, Kitty was always his unrequited love, and so forth and so on. You didn't start getting story arcs until the 70s, and the primetime soaps, and various shows like that.
Well, the question is, and I'm going to throw it to Hassan because he didn't have the answer the first time. You watch episodic shows. You watch a lot of shows. I distinctly remember having a conversation with you about X-Files many, many moons ago. How you were saying that the show had too many filler episodes and that it never got to where it needed to get to because of the premise was him trying to find the sister, and you were complaining about how there was too many filler episodes.
I think I complain mostly about the fact that if you have these, if you're a show, it's a hit show, and you're lucky enough to have special event situations such as they allow you to make a movie about your, you know, of your show. They give you, you know, you get backing to make a movie about your show while your show is still on, which is pretty much unprecedented. It's really never happened. Well, I can't remember too many other times where it's happened where a movie's been in the theaters.
While the show
and then brand new, it's not the pilot of the film, of the TV show. It's not like a two or three episodes crammed together to make a feature film. It's an actual separate film for that stars the characters of your TV show.
Batman.
And, yeah, that's one other time. Yeah, one other time. And it's a joke. Well,
okay, carry on.
That's
carry
later. On. That's after the fact. Also, Transformers, you know. But, I'm talking about a primetime television show. And you get the event, and you don't use that event to change the dynamic of the television show. One would think that because you have because especially at the time, X-Files was a franchise. So unfortunately, when you become a franchise, there's not a lot of things you can do to change things because it's a brand name. So when you get a movie, the theory is that you use the movie to change certain things that you probably couldn't change on a week-to-week format on television. And X-Files just didn't do that. It was just a long episode of the TV show that you end up paying for, you know. So I think that's what I was complaining for. But you know what? The bottom line is that I can't talk about anybody else. I can't. The only reason I watch a movie or television show, excuse me, the only reason I usually tune in week after week is either there's an actor in the show that I like, or the characters of the show are interesting enough to keep me interested in watching them, or the premise. Now, very rarely is it the premise, because as Tom said, there are basically not too many variances on the premises. You know, you got your cop. You know, you got the CSI. You got the cop buddy story. You got you got your lawyers. You know, you got a law story about a bunch of lawyers together trying to put people in jail. You got a bunch of sitcoms about the setting in the living room of some house, some family setting. You know, whatever situation, the machinations that family goes through. There's not a lot of There's not a lot of variety in premise on television at all. And so if you say you're a science fiction fan like I am, then maybe you'll watch something just because there's a spaceship in it. Or maybe you'll watch something just because there's a vampire in it or something like that. So like I said, option number three, the premise, is very rare that that affects anything that I watch. But so usually be an actor or an actress is in a story, and I'm interested to see that particular actor or actress every week to see what they do. And that will not hold my interest for too long if they don't give that actor or actress anything interesting to do. So it would be the characters. I would watch for 1 or 2 weeks and the character would do something, and there would be a consistent feedback or fallout or whatever from the actions that character had taken in week one. Either in week two or week three, because it can't get drawn out too long. If someone picks up a paperclip in week one and you don't hear about it until week five, I'm gone somewhere in week three, three or four. So I wouldn't even know about it. So it's usually that it's all character as usually. And then that's the thing that keeps soap operas on for so long, because the stories don't keep people riveted. Yeah, those stories are consistently refurbished over and over.
Evil versus good.
Exactly. You know, exactly. And corruption and, the treachery of the spirit and all that other stuff. Yeah. So there's basically very little that you can get there's very little few things that you can do with television without the exaltation of character that will work for any long period of time.
Wow.
And there are very few gimmicks or formats. Like you can't Pulp Fiction a show and change the timing around and alter the format of sequential storytelling. Of course, and they've never really worked, because it's there, unlike movies, television has to be formulaic because that is a day-to-day consumption of the masses. And everybody, as much as we all like to think we're individuals, we cannot digest too many things that are outside of the norm on a regular basis. So everything in television is formulaic. Everything is pretty much cookie cutter. So you really need characters. You really need people or writing that stands out in order for anything to have any kind of impact.
Well, you want to see some shows that didn't make it, but they still get picked up. Like the Science Fiction Channel had a lot of them. Uh-huh. Like there were shows I never heard of.
And oh, saying, yeah, when they first started, they
would put it on, and you would watch and you say, "Wow, this bites." I'm glad. I'm glad it went, you know, bye bye after a couple.
Yeah,
of
there
six.
Were some of them.
But I was watching this American Gothic.
Yeah, that one. Gary
Cole.
It was on Channel 2 for
on Channel
yes.
2, and I'm saying.
Lewis.
Like, thank God. Hello? Come
we're
in.
We're hearing giant noises coming up on
I'm
outside.
Saying, you know, what were they thinking? They had one show that if they kept the format like this show, it would have been great. They had one show where these guys come into town, these strangers come into town,
right.
And they try to, you know, stiff arm, they try to beat these people, and here you got your Gary Cole, his character, which is basically the devil.
Yeah.
And he just, you know, it's a vengeance show. And he just comes up with the best things. They kill a guy, and one of the guys, he drugs and he tapes the guy's mouth shut. Next thing you see, the guy gets up. He doesn't know where he is. It's pitch black. He lights a thing and he's in the coffin with the guy he killed. And you see the scene. They're burying him and they're throwing the dirt in the thing. So,
yeah.
I mean, if they kept it along the lines of a revenge. But every week it was like, oh, my God. And the boring stories.
Yeah, a lot of filler storytelling and really bad.
And you had the kid who sees his dead sister all the time, and like it doesn't go anywhere.
Yeah, it sounds like they saw one too many episodes of Twin Peaks.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. But they forgot.
That was another groundbreaking show, was Twin Peaks.
The thing of it is you can't really imitate it because the guy who did it was a card-carrying genius.
Yeah.
The thing about Twin Peaks, though, was the character. It was Kyle MacLachlan's character. He was an oddball FBI detective, comes in to try to solve this mystery, and all the characters in that particular part of the country were insane for some particular reason.
Yeah.
And the only problem with that is that they tried to drag it out for too long because they kept promising that we will discover the killer, you know, we'll discover who the killer is, and then we will move on. And for some reason, Kyle MacLachlan will have to stay in Twin Peaks for whatever reason, or he'll open an FBI a branch in Twin Peaks, and then we'll just have an odd story after. And they panicked at the last minute and said, if we reveal who killed Laura Palmer, no one's going to watch the show anymore. And so as soon as they said they would and then they didn't, people stopped watching the show because they got sick of it.
And then you had people saying, oh, my God, this is great. Let's move some soap operas to primetime. So you get, like, Dallas.
Yes.
And you get Dynasty and stuff like that. And they think, oh, my God, what groundbreaking groundbreaking ideas. And everybody forgets that in the 60s there was a show called Peyton Place.
Yes, I remember that.
Which was a half-hour soap opera every week.
So that's actually a good point you brought up with the Twin Peaks about how they promise to do something and they don't. If a show promises to do something and then either delivers on it and then keeps on going beyond their life, once again, does that hurt the show? Because I distinctly remember...
The only thing that hurts a show is if a show gets canceled.
No, well, you said yourself that they didn't deliver and people thought one show hurt the show. Murder One was a great show. It was a concept that there was going to be a murder, a trial, the arrest, all in one season. And then when it got to the end of the season, they're like, well, what do we do now? It was such a big hit. They had no idea what to do, and they couldn't have another arc for another year. So then they're like, oh, we'll just break it up into like four or five different murders per season, and it just died miserably. Or something as great as 24. The concept was, you know, a whole 24 hours.
24 lasted quite a while, though.
Yeah, but even so, they were having problems. You know, once you do a one-day event, like, well, what do we do now? So I think
it doesn't explain how after only 5 days, the guy's 5 years older. So that's the only thing that...
they did explain those things away. Like certain seasons were, you know, months and years apart, but it was only 1 day event. But I think that actually is a problem when you come up with an idea for a television show. Sometimes it doesn't work as a television show. It might work better as a movie or a book because certain things can't sustain. And I think the whole idea of a show is to keep it going as long as possible. And then when you run out of ideas, you better end it before. Leaving wanting more? Is that what the saying is?
The saying always leave wanting more.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, a lot of shows would be better off as what they used to call a mini series or a limited run series. You know, just, you know, follow the storyline to its natural end and then let everyone say bye bye and start shopping around for a new one.
I mean, you know, I'm going to go with Dukes of Hazzard. That was a very simple premise. You can go on that for hundreds and hundreds of years. And I think that show would be still on the air if not for that whole dispute that they had.
Well, the fact that they'd all be 60 now.
Well, they had the reunion movie a couple of years ago. Actually, a lot of years ago. Mm. Well, I'm just saying that there's still an interest in the general leader, still interest in the characters. And had they not had that financial dispute, the show would have lasted
one of
the
longest running television shows in syndication and in sci-fi history or in history next to Cheers was Stargate, which was a spinoff of a movie.
Right.
And it was basically about they found this gate and when they turned the gate on, it would lead to other planets.
and these guys
would walk through the gate. And then run into stuff that they couldn't deal with, and then run back.
Well, I thought
that lasted 12 years. Part of it is because the format was they never messed with the format. They never messed around with the format or tried to expand on the format. They progressed beyond it, but they never tried to reinvent the format. And the characters were, you know, the main four characters, so the main five characters if you count the leader. Right. Were just intriguing, and they worked well off of each other. They had good chemistry. They developed the stories. The writers developed every little nuance that the characters had. And once you have a hit show like that with a simple premise and characters, you know, four or five actors who work well with one another, when you get around to season three or four, and this is where most people start to lose it and the stories start to kind of fall off because you don't have any exciting things to do with these characters anymore. That's when you start showing them fishing. That's when you start showing these characters that have done these amazing things. You start showing them, you know, going home
for the weekend.
Yeah, going on camping trips. Expand on the characters. Right. Keep the characters consistent. Don't bring in 10 or 15 new characters.
Cousin Oliver?
Yeah. stop it. It doesn't... In some premises, it will work, you know? Like Don Knotts, who got brought in to save, like, about 10 or 15 different sitcoms when I was growing up. It was any time the ratings dipped a little, Don Knotts...
The go-to guy.
Yeah, Don Knotts just showed up. Yeah. And he became a landlord. He became a principal. It was ridiculous. But
Don Knotts.
Yeah, beyond Don Knotts, you can't really keep doing that. You can't just keep bringing new vampires and, you know, this guy's new. He's fresh. Because then you're also losing the cast that everybody loves. It's a double-edged sword. You can't keep watching these guys for 10 or 15 years and keep it fresh, but you can't kind of phase them out and bring new people in either. It's just not going to work. Sometimes you just got to accept that your story is going to end. You just wrap it up.
Yeah.
And maybe do a spinoff.
Well, September for me was like bittersweet because school started, but the new shows, all my favorite shows were coming back from reruns. And Dean Martin did a great thing. Instead of showing his reruns, he would have a Dean Martin summer show.
Yeah.
Every day. And he would like have different guys every season hosted, not different weeks, but one time he had Dom DeLuise, and then one season he had Jonathan Winters, and then all of a sudden Dean Martin was coming back, and you would look forward to that Not me, because it was like in school. All right, I'll be in school one day, and then I could see Dean Martin.
Well, they did. What other show did that recently? In the last 20 years, I think 90210 did summer episodes.
Oh yes, the summer episode.
That was a big
the summer
deal.
Season.
Yeah, they had the summer season about 5 or 6 episodes, maybe 10 episodes, as opposed to
the full 22.
Yeah,
yeah, I remember that they decided to do stuff like that.
Now you have shows coming back like half. You know, like. It starts in the spring.
Yeah,
like,
it starts,
what starts
in January.
I'm not going to school yet. How's it starting?
Well, Lost kept doing that in the last few years. It would start basically in January.
And just run straight
and then
through.
With no reruns. So if you missed an episode, you were SOL.
Yeah,
and you know, I think that the beauty of a rerun is lost nowadays, because sometimes you really do kind of need a rerun to help you out.
At least to know that you don't have to be diligent and watch the, you know.
And some channels are great because you know exactly when they're going to show a rerun of what they show.
Yeah.
I like that.
I've had situations where I've been like, I got to go home. I got to watch this show. And then you get home and you find out it's a rerun. You're like, I can watch a movie. I can relax.
One of the sci-fi channels do that. They show a movie. And like it's at Wednesday night. And you know where we are Wednesday.
Right.
Wednesday at 8. And I said, oh, damn, I wanted to see that movie. But I know they're going to show it at midnight again.
Yeah, right.
They run
it
again at midnight. And I love that. Oh, all right. I'll see it at midnight.
Well, of course, you know, it's counterproductive because of the ratings, and the ratings are always about the first run episodes. And,
yeah.
And they're trying to, you know,
money, money, money.
Yeah, you know, they want to have people not go to the website to see it or steal it.
If we
it
didn't
online.
Have money, we wouldn't have television, we wouldn't have shows, we wouldn't have movies, we wouldn't have entertainment. But if we didn't have, the need for the money as the number one motivator, everything would be better.
Well,
so.
You have to see. I bought this thing. It was in Target's, $1.99. It was the Johnny Carson shows. The Johnny Carson shows from his show from 1956. And you talk about money. They did the commercials live on the air. And they would do like, and you could see when they came back to the show, they're looking at off stage at them where they were doing a commercial, and then they look back and they go,
we're back.
Yes,
look at that, we're back.
And so it's funny you talk about the money situation. The companies own the shows, and then Timex presents the Johnny Carson show,
right.
Or Timex presents the
Alcala presents One Step Beyond.
Right,
they tried that with the
Timex
taco.
Frank Sinatra. They had a Frank Sinatra show. Timex,
the Dana Carvey show. He had a show, a failed show, and it was called Taco Bell Presents the Dana Carvey Show. That was supposed to be the joke about it. And every skit was involving him and Taco Bell. It didn't last, but that was the
how
idea
long
about.
Could that last? Though, I mean, to be honest with you.
How long could you
stretch that formula?
Yeah, well, one time the sponsors had so much power they could literally get stuff lifted out of a show. And a famous example is on Twilight Zone, where the British captain of the Lusitania sends down to the galley for some tea. Only the trouble is it was. The show was sponsored by a coffee company, and so they had to change the line to send to the galley for a tray.
That's
and,
just crazy.
Right, and even on Bewitched, they had to, at one point, Endora's is chiding Darren that his ad agency is trying to talk Americans into buying cars every 2 years when they'll last quite a bit longer. And unfortunately, again, sponsored by a car company, so they had to drop that whole bit.
Well, they actually had that whole thing about Thor, where it was sponsored by the GM cars, and everybody's driving around a GM car, so it's just how it is nowadays. It's kind of sad.
You gotta have your show's gotta have characters. That's all.
That's actually
look at real quick. You got the Next Generation, Star Trek: Next Generation,
right?
Where they concentrated on Picard, Data,
right,
and Worf. Was basically the ones who had the bigger storylines.
Right.
Versus like Deep Space Nine, where they concentrated on all 9 of the characters and the side characters because they were basically stuck on that space station. So they had no choice but to expand on every little storyline. And it was the Deep Space Nine series never really declined. It went all the way to the end.
Mm-hmm.
And then it stopped. And you were like, it's over. That's too bad. Whereas the last two seasons of Next Generation were not that good. You know, not up to par with the with their peak on the third and fourth and fifth seasons.
And I have to say, I like Enterprise, and I don't know why.
I liked Enterprise too. I thought Enterprise was good. I thought Voyager was horrible. I thought Voyager murdered Enterprise because it was just completely inconsistent.
And I, you know, quality. Luckily, they have some reruns going on Sci-Fi or Chiller. But I enjoy that. I enjoyed Enterprise.
So we got a minute left. Hassan says it's all about the characters. Yep. What do you say, Charlie? What's it all about? Sum it up.
Sum it up. Whatever works is going to stay there.
whatever works.
And that's what people are trying hard to do. Let's get something that works. Because if it was easy, everybody would be doing it.
Well, I'm going to go with likable characters and the evolution of those characters in the show. Because one of the shows I really like watching is the NCIS. And that show's been on forever. And it's the same characters, but it's just an evolution, and things keep on going along. So I guess the characters would be the answer. So that about does it for this week on the Came From Radio.
Does it do it for this week?
Yeah, that's it for this week. So we appreciate all you people listening to us on radio, and that we'll about say does hello it. To the future of people who are listening to us on online when you see the archives, which will be up in a week on www.itcamefromradio.com. And as always, all our news items is on our Facebook page, and make sure you join us on the Twitter because we're getting a lot of fans on that, and we'll see you next week.
Thank you, Ace.
You have been listening to It Came From the Radio with Mark Torres. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests did not necessarily reflect the views of WGBB, the owners, or staff. And now we return you to your earthly scheduled broadcast.
Did not necessarily represent those of the staff, management, or owners of WGBB.